Hi, this is Eric Casto, and I want to thank you for taking time to tune into the Oasis podcast with Eric Casto. And I tell you what, I'm so excited to be able to be with you today. And I really believe that God has something very, very wonderful for us as we get into the Word of God. But let me open in a word of prayer, because you want to get your Bible, you want to get your pen and your paper, because it's going to be wonderful. As we open the Bible, Heavenly Father, I pray that your anointing would be upon us today, that we would hear from you. Father, we thank you for the anointing that we've received from the Holy One, and we know the truth because the anointing teaches us. So, Father, as we open the Bible, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is teaching and instructing and opening the eyes of our understanding. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been on a series, and the series is Heaven is a Real Place. This is episode 7. And if you haven't heard the 6 prior episodes, you want to go back, because they're going to build on you. And there's a theme I believe that the Holy Spirit's been giving us. And even I go back and I listen, and I'm thoroughly blessed by it. And so I want you to take your Bible. Let's go back to our keynote scripture, Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, and we're going to go to verse 55. Acts 7, verse 55. The Bible says, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now, a few verses earlier in verse 48, Stephen is preaching. At this point, he doesn't know that he's going to be stoned. He's just giving his side of the story. He's preaching the gospel. He's rebuking them. And so then he says in verse 48, he says, Howbeit the Most High dwells not in the temples made with hands. As says the prophets, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Now that's Psalms 66 verse 1. And you know, King David, he's the one that was moved on by the Holy Spirit to say that. But you know, King David had an experience in the throne room of God. And he said, you know, my heart and my flesh, I cry for you to see your power and your glory as I saw you in your holy temple. So here's David 1,000 years before, and he's declaring that heaven is the throne of God. And he had had an experience in the throne room, in the presence of the Lord. I don't know everything that he saw, but in the Psalms, he definitely says, I saw your power and I saw your glory. Here is Stephen. He looks up. What is he seeing? He's seeing the power. He's seeing the glory of God. In fact, the Bible says that when those Pharisees were looking at Stephen, his face was shining bright like an angel's face, meaning he's shining. He's reflecting the glory of the Lord. And, you know, that's what we are. We're the light of the world. And so there should be a light and a glory that's shining from us. And it's wonderful. You know, as I walk with the cross, and just the other day, I was on the beach over here in Florida, and I walked up to a couple, they're sitting on the beach, and I simply said, has anyone ever told you that Jesus loves you? Boy, they began to smile and they were shining. And I knew they're Christians. And of course they said, we're Christians. We love Jesus. And I said, you know, you don't know me from Adam, but when I came up here and I said, Jesus, your faces smiled, you came alive. I said, isn't that the proof of the inner working of the Holy Spirit that you are light and you're full of life because you have that relationship with Jesus Christ? I mean, it never gets old. It is beautiful to see that switch turned on as people begin to say, oh, we love Jesus. And so now let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. And the Bible says in verse 1, let's begin with verse 1. And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train, his glory, filled the temple. So David, he saw the power and the glory of the Lord. Stephen saw the power and the glory of the Lord. Here's Isaiah getting the same. Now, they're all different, but they're all the same. They're seeing God's power. They're seeing God's glory. But I'm sure there's a nuance of difference of certain things that that God is showing them. And so above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. And with two, he what? He covered his feet. And with two, he did fly. One cried unto the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So Isaiah is in his house. He sees up into the realm of the throne of God, and he sees these angelic creatures, these living beings, crying out, holy, holy, holy. And when they declare that the whole earth is full of the glory of God, all of a sudden Isaiah sees inside of the house where he is, his doors are shaking, and even his house is full of that cloud of glory. Well, why? Well, it wasn't just a vision. You know, sometimes we have a vision and we're wondering, was that true? Well, in this, the proof of that experience in the throne room was manifesting on the earth in his house, signifying that the earth is not separated from heaven. Heaven is very involved with the earth, and there is there in Isaiah's house, as he's having this experience in heaven, it is affecting his very house where he lives. I mean, the doors are shaking. Now, he wasn't seeing heaven's doors. He was seeing his doors. And, you know, it's important to note, heaven is not that far away. And so we're going to talk about that more. So here we are, we're laying this foundation. So here is Stephen in Acts chapter 7, and he is seeing the throne room of God, and they grab him, they start screaming, they're covering their ears, they take him out, and before you know it, they're throwing rocks. He's getting hit with rocks. And but you don't see him in pain. What the Bible says is, he looks up, he begins to pray for them. Don't hold this sin to their charge. And he says, receive my spirit. Now, this man is not writhing in pain, but the rocks are hitting him. They're doing their work. They're killing his body. But you don't see the effects of death working in Stephen. He's in love with the Lord, and he's praying for the people around him. And then he says, Lord, just receive my spirit. You know, this is important, because this is the first New Testament death that we have any record of. And I don't think Stephen lived very long. I don't know how much time happened between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 6 and 7. I don't think it was very much time. Stephen was mightily used by God, but his ministry did not last very long. That's very important to understand. And so here we have in the book of Acts the reality of Christian death. And so I've heard this story preached in a lot of different ways, but I've never heard that. I've never heard it preached that God gives every believer an understanding of Christian death right here. So let's go over to John chapter 8 and verse 51 in order to look at what we're talking about from what Jesus said. And Jesus had a lot to say. And here we have in John chapter 8, verse 51, verily I say unto you, If a man keeps my sayings, he shall never see death. Now, you and I have read that many times, and maybe I should speak for myself. We've read that, and we go, well, I believe Jesus, but, you know, I'm scratching my head here because I've known a lot of Christians who have died. And in fact, we have 2,000 years of history of Christians. In my book, they're seeing death, right? Peter's not here. Paul's not here. They all died. John's not here. My grandma and my grandpa, they're not here. They all died. And so, but this is the thing. When you look at the Greek language, I believe that there's about six different Greek words that would express what we would say seeing or sight. And so instead of going through, you know, every definition, every word in its definition for this example, in this verse, what Jesus is saying is this. He wasn't saying you're not going to die. What he's saying is you're not going to see death, and death is not going to take hold of your focus. Your focus is not going to be death. And you say, well, explain that a little better, you know, so I can understand it. Well, it's simply this. If I go shopping with my wife and we go into a shoe store, when I walk in that shoe store, those shoes have no power over me. I walk in the store, I don't see shoes. I can have just as much fun staring at the ceiling. And you know what? I can walk in the store. I can walk out of the store. That store does not control me. But my wife, it's going to be a little different here. When she walks into the store, all of a sudden the shoes are now fighting for her focus. She is seeing shoes and she's moving in the direction of those shoes. And you're getting two different experiences with two different people. And so here I am. I walk in, I walk out. No power over me. My wife walks in. She does not walk out. Hours later, after she's tried on every shoe in the store. And now I'm kind of being funny there, but she doesn't walk out. I walk out, no power. So what is the Lord saying is this. When death comes, the physical body, a sinner, someone not in communion with Christ, when that point comes and that physical body dies, death now comes and they see death. And death is their focus. And they cannot get their focus off of death. It has them, and it has their focus, and they see death. To the Christian, on the contrary, when that physical body says, hey, I can't go on anymore, they do not see death. Immediately, they enter into life. They're in life. And that's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Now, you know, when we just start there, the power of that, for God so loved, you and I have no understanding the height, the depth, the length, the width, the immensity of God's love that is moving our direction into our death. That's what he did. All of heaven was moving into this scenario called death that we were trapped by. And everything that Jesus did at the cross by going into the very pit itself, but on the third day being raised back to life. Why? So that death has no more sting. It's like I'm at the shoe store. I walk in, I walk out, has no authority over me. I could care less about it. It's going to be the same for you as a believer. When you are crossing over, you're not going to see death. You're not going to see it. You're going to be crossing over right into that presence of Jesus, and you're not even going to feel a thing. It's going to be pure glory. Now, the other day I was at a meeting, And a man got up at the end and he began to share a story. Last year, he died with a heart attack. And he was dead for like 16 minutes. And he says, I never knew I died. He said, all of a sudden, I felt tremendous. I had no fear. I knew there was someone with their arm around me and we were going up. I was so full of peace and joy. He said, I knew it had to be an angel. I didn't see the angel. Of course, that's what I understood. And then he began to talk about heaven. The point why I'm repeating his story is that he never saw death. His heart stopped. He coded. He was dead for 16 minutes, but he never saw death. He was instantly in life, in the presence, moving up, heading into heaven itself. What I'm trying to say is, don't be afraid of death. Death is a lie. Never be afraid of death. It has no authority. It has no power over your life when you are in Christ. Now, if you're listening to this podcast and you've never said, Jesus, I'm giving you my life. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins, and I'm asking you to forgive me and to be my Savior. Well, see, if you haven't done that, then when your body is dying, death is coming, and you're going to see it. It's going to have your focus. It's going to completely control you, and it's going to take you into the very depths of the earth. You have no authority to deal with death. I mean, you have authority to go out into your car, drive your car. You have authority to go to work. You have authority to go to the beach and have fun. You have authority to do all these things. And you know, we get excited about all the things that we like to do. But there's one thing that you can't do, is that when your body stops, something's coming. It's either life or it's death. Either you're going to see life or you're going to see death. And so, only Jesus, my dear friend, only Jesus, who died on a cross, he went into the very pit itself, was raised back to life on the third day. He conquered your sin. He conquered the devil, and he conquered death so that you and I could be free. You know, it's interesting. The other day, I was in prayer, and you know, I just kept feeling this sense, you need to go to the beach today with the cross. And here in Florida, finally, the weather's warming up, and it's wonderful to go on the beach now because people are out there. And so this is February, where everybody else in my country are freezing. We're not freezing right now. And so, you know, I said to my wife, I said, Beth, I feel like I need to go to the beach. And she said, well, you know, it's the Super Bowl's on today. No one's going to be on the beach. I said, well, I have to obey. I need to go. I have to obey this, you know, in my heart. Oh, she said, well, good. I'll pray for you. And so we prayed, and I went. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm not sure why I'm doing this, but I'm really excited about it. And once I get out there with the cross, I'm just going to pray, and maybe I'll meet some people. So I get out there, and yeah, there's people out there, and I'm walking and sharing the gospel with people, and it's really a wonderful time. Well, then I looked ahead, and I saw a truck with some young teenage people. And then I just felt the Lord kind of prompt my heart, just so easy. Hey, go over there and speak to them. It was so subtle, so easy. Just go talk. So I walked over. And when I walked over, there were five teenage young girls. They drove their truck out on the beach, and they were having fun. And they had big eyes. They're like, a man with a cross is right here at our, you know, on the beach and right here talking to us. And they began to talk about God, how they wanted to know God, how they had prayed, God, I want to know you. couple of them were just recently going to a youth group. They wanted to know more about God. And I began to share my story and to witness to them. And I said, listen, do you want to pray right now and just ask Jesus to come into your life? Yes. Yeah, they all said yes. And so we all bowed our heads and we began to pray. And then I just gently started praying for them. And when I got done, a couple of them had tears in their eyes, and I just felt the Lord was just touching them. And I said, you know, I wasn't really supposed to be here today. I wanted to get ready for the Super Bowl. But I just felt like I was supposed to come to this particular beach. Now, in Florida, we've got a lot of beaches. There's a lot of beaches to choose from. But you know what? I felt led go to this beach, this particular beach. And these young girls were like, wow, God would do that for me? And this is what I want to say. I believe in this year, 2025, we need to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to His voice. Obviously, we read the Bible because that's His Word. And as we read the Word, guess what? We can understand His voice. And I like to say this to people. You know, Jesus speaks the Word of God. That's His language. But His accent is love. And, you know, I deal with a lot of people who speak English very different than I do. And a lot of the people that I know speak English very different than each other. You know, some are Filipinos, some are Russians, Ukrainians, Japanese, Brazilian, French. And when they speak English, it all sounds very different. And sometimes I listen to people and I say, you know, I know you're speaking English, but I don't understand your accent. Jesus speaks the language of the Word of God, and His accent is love. And as we take time to spend time in His love, I really believe as you grow this year in the love of God, you're going to be sensitive. And all of a sudden you're going to go, God is leading me. He's ordering my steps. And because you're listening to His language and you're understanding His accent. And why am I saying that? Because you know what? We should not be afraid of anything this year. Don't be afraid of death. Death has no power over you. You're not going to ever see death. It has no power over you. It can try to intimidate you. But my Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of what? Death. I'll fear no evil. For thou, O Lord, art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So I want to encourage you. Spend time. Look up. Set your heart and mind on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Get a revelation of heaven and walk in the love of God. Carry the language of Jesus and carry His accent to the world you live in. And as you do, you're going to find yourself with some young people or maybe some older people sharing the gospel, and they're going to look at you and say, how did you even know to come talk to me? And you'll say, well, because Jesus heard your cry. And it's going to be wonderful. Now, listen, that's enough for now. Go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for Him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.